You know, why allow the conflict? Why allow the disagreement to cause wedges and bring issues? Man, just think about it. I would say that most people probably here agree that Jesus Christ died for our sins. I would say that most people here probably agree that the Bible was the Word of God. I would say that most people here would probably say that we agree that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I would say that most people here agree that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but God the Son. I would say that most people here believe that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, that he atoned sufficiently for the sins of mankind. I would say that, look at all that we have to agree with.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Benefits of Conflict. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Benefits of Conflict.
If the book was written then, that this confrontation between Peter and Paul took place before A.D. 50. All right. Peter, writing about 16 years later in 2 Peter, many people believe that 2 Peter was written right before Peter died, around A.D. 68. So you're looking at some 15 years later that Peter writes, and this is what he says. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And Peter writes this. He says, "And the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." Now, look at this. Here goes my point right here. Look what he says. "Even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." What did Peter say about Paul? Paul got in his face. Paul came and withstood him to the face. And what does Peter say here? "Our beloved brother Paul." Our dearly beloved brother. Our brother who has won our hearts. Our brother who we love with all of our heart. Let's go back to our message a couple of weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 13. Our brother that we have exercised agape love with, our dearly beloved. What does this tell us? This tells us that somehow these two individuals handled that whole process of reconciliation the right way. So Peter doesn't write, well, you know, that hypocrite Paul or that dog Paul that likes to get in everybody's face. But evidently, they handled this thing the right way. That the spirit between them and the love that when it was pointed out, the error, that they came together and they said, well, look, man, the gospel is much more important, you know, than us being angry with each other. You know, look at this. We are leaders in the church. We are leaders in the church. And if people look at us and see problems, then what do you think is going to happen to them? If we are the ones, you know, I'm carrying, Paul, you carrying the gospel to Asia Minor. You're going to eventually get on up into Rome. Look, I'm trying to take the gospel here in Jerusalem and around here. Now, what if it gets back that me and you done fell out? What if it gets back to all these folk about this good news that we telling people that me and you done fell out and that this gospel that we preach is not powerful enough to keep us reconciled? Man, that's a weak gospel. That this gospel is not powerful enough to keep you and I reconciled. Reconciliation. They realized that there was something greater at stake in the kingdom than their own petty differences. They recognized that there was something greater at stake in the kingdom of God than their issues. And I don't know who yielded to who. I would imagine that was probably Peter that came and said, you know, Paul, you're right. Now, once again, this is in my sanctified imagination. But he said, you know, you're right. And after that, man, they hugged and they went out. And Peter, writing 15 years later, says, "Our beloved brother Paul." Wow. You're talking about a powerful example of reconciliation. Benefits of conflict. Brokenness, reconciliation, growth. Look at James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various trials," or if I could put this one in here for the sake of the message, "count it all joy when you fall into conflict." What is conflict? It's a trial. What is conflict? It's a problem. James says when you fall into conflict, when you fall into problems, he said, count it joy. Why? Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Two interesting words here. The word perfect in the Greek comes from the word teleoi, which means mature. And the word entire, or the King James says here, entire, lacking nothing, comes from a word that means fully developed. Now watch this, saints. Watch this. The scripture says that trials come your way, first of all, to grow you up. When he said perfect, that don't mean that you a perfect person. That, you know, it's like the guy said, you know, he was talking to another guy. He said, I don't know of anybody perfect. I don't know of anybody that was perfect. And the guy said, well, I know one person that was perfect. And he said, who? He said, my wife's former husband. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So James is not talking here about being perfect in that sense. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about growing you up in the faith. That trials come, problems come, conflicts come to grow you up. Grow you up. If you just had all sunshine, man, you would just turn hard and dry and crack up. But God sends some rain to let you be able to get your roots down in and spread out and grow and blossom and mature. That's why conflict comes your way. Man, you ought to thank God that you are worthy to be. You know, you don't want to think. Let me tell you something. You know the person that really don't have any problems? Let me tell you this. You know the person that really don't have any problems or has a very minimal amount of problems is the person that's doing absolutely nothing. If you're not doing anything, you're not going to have problems. If you just sit, soak, sour, and stinking, you're not going to have any problems. Why? Because when you get out here, friction. If I'm just by myself on this island all by myself, I'm not going to bump up against anybody. I'm not going to have any issues. But be assured that if you are doing something, you know what that means? There's movement. And when there's movement, there's friction. And I guarantee you this, that even if you don't bump up against somebody else, that the devil is waiting there for you to discourage you and hinder you. The devil not after anybody that's not doing anything. People sitting back and not doing anything say, man, the devil ain't worried about you. You're not a threat to the devil. He only worried about them who is advancing the cause of Christ. That's who the devil is after. And so God lets these things come so that we might grow, so that we might mature in our faith. And then he says, lacking nothing but being entire. You know what that means? Complete or fully developed in every part. God might look down some and say, look, you need a little patience right there. Let me open up your life a little bit and let some conflict come in. Why? Because you need to develop in the area of patience. And you know what? You're not going to develop in the area of patience if you don't have any trials. Somebody said, went to one of the older saints in the church and said, look, pray for me that I would have patience. And the saint said, well, look, let's pray right now. And the saint said, I pray that you would bring this person tribulation in the morning, tribulation in the afternoon, tribulation in the evening. Wait a minute. I didn't pray for the tribulation. I want you to pray for patience. That's how you're going to get patience, through trials. And so God sometimes looks and sees that maybe we need to be stretched in an area, stretched in our patience. And so he lets these things come into our life to cause us to be complete in every area. You know, you can't be complete in one area and not over here. Wow, you'd be lopsided, man. You'd be walking around like this. So God said, look, I got to balance you out. Let me send something here to help you grow in this area right here. And so the benefits of conflict, brokenness, reconciliation, growth. Look at the fourth benefit of conflict, and that is God's blessings. especially when it's handled properly. Look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good it is and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, look at this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Where does God send his blessings? God sends his blessings to a place where people are in unity. If you are disjointed and confused and at odds, you know what? According to this verse right here, the blessings of God don't reside there. God is looking. God is looking for places where unity is being practiced. God, you know, in the home, when there's unity in the home, man, you will have so much blessing on your home. Your home will be blessed when there's unity. But when there's not unity, you know, you come home and, you know, it's like, this is why I come for peace. And this is like a war zone in here. You know, this is the place where I ought to be able to escape, at least from all the foolishness that's out in the world. I ought to be able to come home and sit in my chair and put my head back and feel at ease in my own home. But when there's not unity, there's conflict, there's tension, there's, you know, you in one room, spouse in another room, and never the twain shall meet. Anger. Why? Because there's not unity. The blessings of God are where there's unity. Now look at a couple things here. The first thing in the notes, when believers handle conflict properly, it is a reflection of the Lord's character. In verse 1, he says, behold how good. Now, what do we say? God is good. God is good. How many times in the song, God is good. And the word pleasant means beautiful. And what does the scripture say? To behold the beauty of the Lord. So now look at this. If God is good and God is beautiful, that's what the scripture says. God is good. God is beautiful. He says here how good and beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. That when we're in unity, hey, guess what? I got some good news for you. That when we're in unity, that we are acting the most like God than if we're not in unity. That when we are in unity, we are reflecting the character of God. Somebody ought to be able to say, you want to see God? You want to see God? Look, come on over to Bethany Baptist Church. And let me show you this. Come on up. Do you really want to see God? Do you want to see the character of God reflected? Come on over to Bethany. I got some. Let me show you brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Look at this. Let me show you this ministry. Look at this. When we are in unity, we are reflecting the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing is that when believers handle conflict properly, they are able to overcome all their differences. Any difference that you have, when you have unity of purpose, unity of spirit, you're able to overcome. Look what he says in verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. What did he say unity is like? You remember when Moses anointed Aaron, the high priest, and he broke that oil and he poured it over Aaron's head, and the oil dripped off of Aaron's head, and it went down. I mean, this oil was so rich and so thick, it dripped in his beard, and the oil dripped from his beard, and it started touching the skirts of his garment. And it dripped all the way down his garment, all the way down to the floor. The psalmist said that's what unity is like. That when you looked at Aaron, you didn't necessarily see the head and the face and the beard and the garment. You saw the You saw the anointing. It just overcame all the differences, all the distinctions, because there was unity. And when unity is in the body, man, there's nothing that you can overcome. There's nothing that you should not have difficulty dealing with. When there's unity, the unity that God speaks of in the body, the blessings of God are there. God's blessings are upon. And let me finish real quick. The third thing that I want to say is that when believers handle conflict properly, it brings life and energy to the body. He said it's like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. If you go to this place called Mount Hermon, actually one of the mountains was called the Mountain of Dew. And what would happen is at night the dew would settle on the mountaintops. And when the sun came up, it would scorch the countryside. But where the dew had settled that evening and that morning, man, the grass was just fresh and green and perfect. And it was almost like a line you could see where the dew stopped. And where the dew settled, there was life in the vegetation. Where the dew settled, there was energy in the vegetation. And where the dew didn't settle, it was parched and dry. He said, unity is like that. It's like the dew, that there's life. You know, folks are in love with one another. Folks are rallying with one another. Folks are enjoying fellowship with one another. Folks are praising God together. That where there is unity, there's life. And where there's not unity, there's death. It's dry. It's parched. It's cracked. Where there's not unity. Unity. And then he says, this is where God commands his blessings. You're not going to be blessed. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God is not going to be in a mess. God is not going to be in a mess. He is not the author of confusion. But the blessings of the Lord flow and touch where people are in unity. And then finally, I'm going to close out with this. Benefits of conflict: brokenness, reconciliation, growth, God's blessings when they are handled properly, and then finally, positive change. Acts chapter 6, positive change. Acts 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Oh, here we go. Oh, shucks. Here we go. Some conflict. We got some conflict. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not fitting that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parthenus, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And when they had set before them the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. All right. Now, all this came because there was a problem. They would have never dealt with this if there wasn't a problem. Now, look at this. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. As a result of a conflict, new opportunities for growth. Man, when conflict comes, we ought to say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me in this? Lord, what are you trying to stretch me to do in all this? Lord, where are you leading me in all this? That when conflict comes, instead of shutting down and becoming sour and looking like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice, instead of having an attitude, God, what new opportunity is going to come as a result of this conflict. Lord, what new direction are you leading me? Lord, what new avenue am I to pursue as a result of this conflict? It said that there was a conflict, and as a result of the conflict, and I like this right here, the word of God increased. Now, and you know, what else amazes me? The priests were obedient. Now, you know, back in this man, who gave Jesus the hardest time? The Pharisees and the priests. Who was one of the ones that tried Jesus? The high priest. And because they were able to see this conflict being resolved and handled, the word of God increased, and the priests were obedient to the word. Wow. Man, there's a lot of benefits from conflict. So my admonition is this. Don't necessarily see conflict as all bad. Look at conflict as opportunities. Whenever conflict comes your way, pull this outline out, read it, and say, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. Don't raise your hand. But who's in the conflict right now? I saw all the hands go up in the heart. Well, what is it, God? Brokenness? Reconciliation? Growth? Your blessings? Or some positive change? What are you trying to do in me through this conflict? The benefits of conflict. You know, I said, you know, from now on, when I'm in meetings, I'm going to have this outline. I'm going to take my sermon notebook with me everywhere I go. And now when I'm just going to, we're going to, the color of conflict. All right, what color is this? Is this green or blue or yellow? All right, well, what's the benefit? You know, man, we got to begin to see. You know, and once again, I'm going to say all this and I'm going to be done. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I started off this message by saying, well, two things. Number one, I passed out those little blue forms and asked people to fill them out to say what message or series of messages would you like to see. And overwhelmingly, the issue was dealing with conflict. Overwhelmingly. And then the second thing that I said was, if you go back and read people that have done studies in the church, and they have identified the highest times of conflict in the church, second on the list is when they were in a building project or capital campaign. That's the second one. So I think God is letting us know something, that we're going to be in some high conflict. It's statistically true that when you get into what we're getting ready to get into, that there's going to be conflict. Now, I haven't seen any. So we can expect it. Saints, I'm telling you, expect conflict. Expect it. But then realize it's not all bad. It's not all bad. That there are some good things that can come out. Now, you don't know where it's going to be bad? If we get to that code, now I want to look because I want to tell you all the truth. I'm going to tell you when conflict is going to be bad. Let me get my notes from last week. When we get into code orange and we start getting into clicks. Well, this is the click of the first thought, move, holy righteousness, development, working with this idea, click. This is the click, the anti-click of what we're trying to do, what we're going to stand against. Everything that's trying to be done, we're in this click over here. Now, come on now. We can have differences, and we can disagree, all right? And we can make our disagreement known. Now, I'm not saying, I don't want anybody to not feel that they can't speak up and disagree. But let's speak up and not click up. Let's speak up and not click up. The benefits.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Receive Criticism from our series, Bumping Heads with Other Saints. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Benefits of Conflict, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Benefits of Conflict. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Benefits of Conflict. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored, Lord.